Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 349. How are we all doing? My chat's empty. You know why, don't you, Mike? I'm on the Brooklands page.
Oh.
Can't get the staff here. And I'm the worst.
349.
Yay! Hello, Jonathan! Number one again. Hello, Kim. Oh, there's the question, Kim. Did Johnny catch up on the show? I think he's just sneaked into Slack, if my notifications are right. Oh, today has been a busy one, but he did love the show. Excellent. So did Renee, by the look of it. It was rather exciting. And the big announcement at the end, Jonathan. Mad March. Who else do we have with us? We've got Paul. Hello, Paul. How is it down under?
4 o'clock this morning.
4 o'clock? You were wide awake? That'll be the excitement, Jonathan. Lola was the same, weren't you, babe? Snoring a little head off now. Giddy this morning. Oh, glad you enjoyed it. Hello, Tony. And Jonathan's looking forward to Mad March. Yeah, you can't beat Mad March, can you? We picked 3 o'clock on a Sunday because that's when YouTube tells me people are watching. Which is just as well, because if it was like, you know, 7:30 on a Wednesday in the morning, not happening. I'm not a morning person. But yeah, 3 o'clock on a Sunday. We can do 3 o'clock on a Sunday. That'll be fine. So we've just got all of that to sort out now and then everything will be fine. Guess what I did today?
What did you do today?
In relation to Mad March, obviously need posters. Now, you saw last night I did have posters, somewhat very quickly put together posters. But I thought, need to go in and sort these posters out. And I went into my template and I dragged and dropped an item from the assets panel onto my artboard. Went mental. I thought, whoa, back up, dude. What happened there? I did it again. I thought, okay, I'll reboot. No, still the same. I've broken Affinity Designer. So I works out what's wrong with it. It's when I'm dragging from the asset panel to an artboard. If I don't drag to an artboard, it's fine. But obviously, posters, yeah, artboards. So I went off in hunt on the forum. They are aware of it. It's a bug. It was introduced in 1.9.1. I thought, don't bring bug fixes out that break stuff. It's annoying. Really annoying. So now I've got to wait for them to fix it. But I'm sure they will. It's gone off to engineering, so it could be a while. In the meanwhile, a couple of workarounds. If you want an asset on an artboard, don't put it on the artboard. Put it on the background, the pasteboard, as they call it, which is the area when you have an artboard, one or more of them, that's not the artboard. The other option you've got is to have a second file open with no artboards, drag and drop on there and then copy and paste. I know, pain in the backside as well. But if they could just stop breaking things, that would be good. Which one are we starting with? Where's my slides from last night? I haven't even got them on the calendar yet. That's how previous that announcement was last night. Right.
There's a lot of requests here. I'm putting the stuff in the spreadsheet for tonight. There's a lot of requests for X, where X is a song, by any male voice choir.
Oh, I know, I saw that. I'm thinking, but I can guarantee you I'll pick the wrong one and Tony P will tell me all about it.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, we were starting off with the export persona. And that was a good one. That is a good one. Then it was going to be blend modes. And then two on Affinity Publisher, Creative Tables and Mastering Masters, and then Bridge. So at the moment, we're going to stick with that order. I thought it made sense to do the publisher ones together. And it doesn't really make much sense, does it? Slamming them in between a designer and a photo. So for the moment, that's what we're doing. But, you know, I might decide that we will slam them in between designer and a photo at the moment. But I think we will go with the export persona first, which has been long requested. And I promise that would be the next one. So there you go. That's got to be the next one.
Wales also won today, 40-24.
I know this is going to be very alarming, given we've been nursing the dog all day. But I knew that.
I didn't.
Frank mailed me and said Chidgey's going to be unbearable tonight.
Yeah.
So
they've
I thought
the Triple Crown, apparently.
Oh, he's going to be triply unbearable then. Oh, poor Jonathan. He was hoping points were being awarded. Jonathan, I'm not insane. You'd beat me. I might fall asleep if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But there's no chance you would. No, 4 a.m. boy. Oh, 6 a.m. in Australia. Ah, do you know, we've got somebody who's joining us on by request at midnight. So I don't know where in Australia she is. Will that be about 8 o'clock for Liana?
I think so.
Where's she based? Is it Perth?
I don't know.
It's alarmingly early, and that's when she gets up and she just catches the last hour. But she's got some friends listening tonight, because the theme, it's St David's Day on Monday, is Wales and all things Welsh. There's a lot of Tom Jones being mentioned. Quite a lot of Bonnie Tyler as well. Can't understand why nobody else on the planet's picked the alarm. But I have. Big fan. They're like you too, but from Wales. So it's heavy rock, but you'll like it. You will. Got to be 68 guns, hasn't it?
68 guns.
You see what I mean? It sets him off every time. Right. Tony needs the sign-ups for both emails. He was struggling to find the pages. Good grief. That should not be difficult. If you go to elainegiles.co.uk, it's on the homepage. And if you go to MacBytes, isn't it?
It's on the homepage.
It's on the homepage. MacBytes.co.uk, elainegiles.co.uk. Simple as that. And you'll find them from there. What's wrong with Lola that she needs nursing? She just wants a lot of attention at the moment. She's realised if she headbutts me enough, I'll take her in the bedroom, at which point she'll lie on the bed, on her back, legs akimbo, and just let me stroke her for like 5 hours. And it's most enjoyable for her. Me less so, but... No, what we did today was, because she was just fretful, wasn't she?
Mm.
Just moochy. Despite the fact she'd been on a walk, she'd had treats, she'd had breakfast, and she'd even been for a tinge of a car ride. A tinge of a car ride. And she was still moochy. So we took her in the bedroom, and I said, well, it's a longer story than that, isn't it? The network's not working properly. The network was working perfectly, but Virgin, that's our ISP, remotely updated the router. And obviously the router provides its own Wi-Fi for the rest of the house, but we don't use that. That's our backup. So if our primary Wi-Fi goes, we will just switch to that. They'd done some magic with it, according to them. But them doing magic with it meant that they'd reconfigured it, which meant all the rest of the network went down. So we had the hideous task of running around, making sure everything was unplugged and then replugged in, and then hoping that everything worked. Otherwise, we would need to sacrifice one of Lola's chickens. Mind you, as you know, frozen chickens are not short of those here. So
washing machines,
as long as you don't need a door. So we were in the middle of like, yeah, we need to do that. But, you know, it was hanging on, and most of the network's Ethernet anyway. So until it stops working, leave it alone was where we were at. But then, because Lola needed to go in the bedroom and be absolutely fussed to glory, I said, why don't we put that video we're watching on an iPad and bring it with us? Yeah, said video was nearly 2 gig. So that wasn't going to work. So I said, well, right, we'll install that Mac that we had there from Christmas that we've not done yet. Oh, that was fun. So I turned it on, no problem. Couldn't remember if I'd put an Ethernet cable in it or not. No, I hadn't. Clearly hadn't got an Ethernet cable. I've got them, but you know when you bought something, you've packed them away so tightly, you've no idea where they are. I'll order one from Amazon for tomorrow. So it was on the Wi-Fi. And it was on the Wi-Fi and it was working. It was just everything else that wasn't working on the Wi-Fi. So I said, right, we're going to take the Wi-Fi down. So we semi-took the Wi-Fi down as little as we needed to, and fingers crossed it would be okay. Brought it back up. Then we manually transferred the video across, and we got the video up on a 27-inch iMac while we brushed Lola lovingly and just gently massaged her. She's taken to liking to be massaged. We've made a monster. What can I say? Oh, anyway, she seems all right now. She's asleep next to me. I lay on the floor. She must know it's two-show Saturday. So she's settling in for the long haul. But since I moved her bed last night, and I only did that so I could get the table in to put the laptop on, which needs to record the unboxing, she's disgusted with the bed. She now needs it re-seating properly, and she's just lying next to it, glowering at it. So Mummy will never do that again. I'll move everything else, but I won't touch the bed. Isn't it awful how I'm judged? How are we judged by our beautiful pets? Oh. Hope Jonathan hasn't requested a song about lambs and wellies tonight. I sincerely hope not to, because I know we've got people from Wales who are joining us. Kim says the only thing about Wales, she's part Welsh and they have names that are very long and you can't pronounce them. Wales is lovely. It really is a beautiful place. To some degree, there's that kind of the Welsh don't like the English thing going on, which is just most unfortunate. It is a beautiful place to visit. I even went down to Cardiff, which is like not what you normally think of as Wales. You think of Wales as like rolling hills and tenors singing in them. Cardiff is very, very different, very modern city, but very nice to visit. Could have done with a bit of a better motorway to get there. We didn't realise, we knew the weather was bad. It was January or February, the end of January, I think. Took Mum with me. We stayed there for a couple of days while I was doing a job. What company was that? A huge insurance company, headquarters in Cardiff. Anyway, we were heading down there and neither of us realised the flooding was as bad as they were saying it was. We were just tootling along this motorway. There was a tiny motorway. It was only like two lanes in either direction, which is small for a motorway here. But as we were going through, I said, you know, that water's quite close to it, isn't it? And it actually came over the motorway at one point, but only by about 6 inches. So I was thinking that the motorway was running next to either a canal or a river or something that had, you know, just come over the motorway a little bit with this rain that they'd had. It wasn't until we were past this dip and we started climbing the other side of it that I said, you see over there? And there was a sign and it said, like, you know, I have no idea where it was. It wasn't Clonethley, but say Clonethley. Clonethley Rugby Club. And there was this sign and I looked and behind it, there were the rugby posts. You could only see the top 3 foot. Now, you know how tall rugby posts are. You couldn't see the crossbar at all. I said, oh, my God, I think the flooding's like 30 foot.
I've just had Kath doing a duet with Bonnie Tyler. Type Kath in the wrong column. Should have been Kim and Kath.
Oh, well, if you want to make it a trio, Kim, Kath and Bonnie Tyler, that would work.
I didn't know Ricky Valence was so Welsh.
Oh, of course he is. We always have that.
Tell Laura I love her.
See, he's on fine voice tonight, isn't
and
he?
And Shaky, of course.
Of course Shaky's Welsh.
How could I have forgotten Shaky?
Kiva loves massage as well. They've obviously been talking, Kim. This is a new thing for Lola. But she's just... You know how they say a dog trusts you when it can sleep on its back? She's lay there on her back and her front two paws are like, you know where the joint is and they just kind of flop down. Her bottom leg's akimbo. And you're, like, you're rubbing her tummy and she's just like, more there. Yeah, that bit there. Not moving a muscle. And you're thinking, you know, I could be stood here with a machete. She's just well away. She'll let you hold her paw, stroke her head, anything. Anything at all. Not move an inch. But now she's lay out flat and she's got her front two paws like a little kangaroo poised to jump. So, yeah, she's all right now. Now she's had a daily massage. She's fine. We've made a monster.
Got Kath's trio in here with a little story.
Oh, yes. I think I saw the story. Hello, Tracy. Yes, how is Dr. B? Is he okay? Do you know, so many people now are getting the vaccine. I'm struggling to keep up with how everybody is. Kaz has had hers. She seems okay. Stuart's had his. He's all right. Ellen's had hers. She had hers 2 days before Stuart. Ellen got a I've been brave at the doctor's today sticker. Stuart didn't. Oh, major domestic. And Kaz didn't get a sticker either. See, that's what I said at the dentist. When I went, it would have been about the second time, I think. First time was just for Craig to have a look, take some x-rays and have a chat. I kind of apprised him of what I expected, which was do not keep anything to yourself. You are not a plumber's merchant. Do not suck air between your teeth and shake your head sadly without telling me what you're thinking. So none of the... none of that. No. You have to talk to me. Tell me everything. So that was the first appointment. So once he was trained in what I needed, I went back for the second one. I think I had teeth out that day. And I said, where's my sticker? He said, what sticker? I said, the I've been brave at the dentist today sticker. Looked at me like I was barking mad. But I really had been very brave. I turned up on my own. I drove myself there on my own. Had the teeth out. I didn't have any of the offer me sedation as well. And I said, no, I don't want any of that. I want to be fully conscious. Fully conscious and keep talking to me. Don't stop talking. But I didn't get my sticker. He, however, did get a rather good gift at the end of it. And I'll show you what the gift was and then I'll tell you what happened with it, which was a classic. Right, it was something from Amazon that I found. Right. Oh, I hope they still sell it. Not seeing it. Oh, no.
So what happened in Leeds last night?
I have no idea what happened in Leeds last night.
People get stabbed.
Oh, stabby. Oh, dear. That's not good.
Man seriously injured after daytime knife attack.
What is wrong with people? Honestly. I can't... They don't seem to have the mug that I actually got for him. It was a mug and it was for a dentist. And it had this slogan on the side. Let me see if I can find it in my orders. Because I'm not going to have much in there under dentist, am I? There we go. That's it. And can I see the picky? That's got to be the worst picky. Do you know, I should get one of these and send them to Kim. It probably never get there. But the principle's sound, isn't it? Let me get this up to the cloud. Right, so I bought him this. He loved it. Takes it home, puts it in his cupboard. One of his buddies comes round for a drink and he gets the cup out, this mug, and another one. And the guy thought he'd bought it himself. Which would have been a tinge on the egotistical side. So he said, no, I didn't. Patient bought me that. Oh, it's so true. You need one, Kim. Have they still got them in stock? Because it's not coming up when I'm searching for it. I got that from my previous orders. Isn't it just so cute? Oh, had to be done. So how many were involved, Pete? Oh, poor Dr. B's grotty, but not half as bad as the first time. Is that good or bad? I think he probably had to be taken so badly with it. Maybe he had some kind of antibodies. And the first one took him really, really bad. It's just so weird, isn't it? The people I've heard who took bad with it, he was the worst, I think. The others had like a headache and took to their beds. But at least there was none of the can't breathe thing going on. Mind you, Kaz is 10 years younger than me. Kaz has had her first jab. Do you think they've missed us? No, get around to us in the end. It'll all happen in the end. Kim's patients are always trying to feed her. Much thinner there. Oh, he was a superhero, he was. Not particularly because of the dental work even. Just the fact that, to me, a dentist is so much more than just somebody with an implement in their hand. They have to have the right personality. In fact, I'm not even sure personality is there. People skills, call it what you like. Actually, listen to the patient. There's a concept. Because the one that I'd actually been to another dentist, first one in like a long time, about 3 weeks before I set eyes on Craig, and the man was an idiot. I have never seen a bigger idiot. I've seen some duff dentists. I've seen some duff vets. I've seen some duff doctors, but not quite as bad as this one. Absolute idiot. Absolute idiot. He had this huge poster on the wall that said implants. Ask your dentist. So I goes in and obviously I'd got an abscess at the time and half a missing tooth. So, you know, that's going to have to be this and it's going to have to be this. I said, yeah, fine. And I'm gazing at this poster with this woman with teeth that could have like lit up a football stadium. And I said, See, the poster says talk about implements, and he said, and I quote, "We're a million miles away from implants." And I thought, well, actually, we've got more than one missing tooth, so I don't think we are technically. He was such a misogynist pig. So, yeah, I didn't really want to go back there. But once the abscess had calmed down, I did my duty and I went back. And he put a temporary filling in this thing. But when I say a temporary filling, there wasn't much left of the tooth to start with. But he did put a temporary filling in it. And I don't know whether they do this deliberately. Kim can tell me. Why was the temporary filling day glow orange? Is this so you go back? If they give you a white one, you might think, I'll just stick with this till it falls out. It was orange, bright orange. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, there's a grand job. Not. But at least it had stopped throbbing and the abscess had gone. So as I walked out, I thought, yeah, we'll be going back there. And I'm literally thinking to myself, I wonder how long this temporary filling will last. I thought, will it last long enough to find somebody who's actually a decent dentist rather than this guy who I think is the cleaner who just does a bit of dental work when the dentist is busy? So no, they never saw me again. But I did rock up to Craig and he did take this tooth out. He said, there's a temporary filling in here. I said, yes, I know. And he said, dare I ask how long the temporary filling has been? I said, only 3 weeks. not long, really. Oh, dear. You dropped out for a couple of minutes after you logged in. Oh, no. Duff doctors. Pete's ears are burning. You're not a duff doctor, Pete. Come on. Too much of a personality to be a duff doctor. I don't actually think, you know, like Anton Mayer, if you remember Anton Mayer in Holby City, the guy was supposed to be like a genius. But for the entire first series of Holby City, now bearing in mind, Anton Mayer, this is the guy I named the dog after. I loathe the guy with a passion. It was like, I'm going to watch Holby City because I loathe that guy. I'm going to get my little doll out and I'm going to get stabby with it because I loathe this guy. Arrogant, 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 arrogant. And then the first episode of the second series, he was on a plane going to a medical conference. And he had Michael French, who was Jordan, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mr. Jordan with him. So he was the consultant and this guy was like the baby consultant or soon to be. Yeah, he must have been a consultant because he was a mister. He had him with him. So he was in first class. Jordan was in cattle class. And this woman, well, she was actually having a baby, but she hadn't told anybody because she'd had like 14 miscarriages. And she was only something silly like 20-something weeks pregnant. And she goes into labour. But it's a dire situation where she's bleeding out and the odds are the pair of them will die. So Mr. Jordan goes up to first class to find Anton Mayer and says, you know, he'd already been up there and he wanted to stay, basically, and he chewed him away. And he said, if I see you again before we land, you're sacked. So he goes up to first class and he said, excuse me, Mr. Mayer. Mr. Mayer. He said, right, you're sacked. He said, no, there's a medical emergency. So Anton Mayer heads to the back, finds this woman in a complete state. And obviously, he needs to do something about it. So she is half conscious, I would say, at best, and she is dying. He rolls his sleeves up and then he stops. And he put his head down next to her and said, he introduced himself. He said who he was. You know, I'm a doctor and I'm a heart surgeon, blah, blah, blah. Would it be all right if I examined you? And I thought, oh, my God, that's a doctor. That is a doctor. You are not, you know, what I was expecting to happen was he dashed to the back, you know, in full Superman mode, you know, sleeves up, in he dives, doesn't even, you know, he even said her name. And I thought, whoa, I've not met many doctors like that. They don't care who you are or anything like that. They're treating you as a slight side of beef. So that was the moment with Anton Mayer.
But he wasn't real.
No, he wasn't really. It was scripted.
No, he was reading a script.
But I spent the whole first series loathing the guy. I mean, he threw scalpels across the theatre.
English teacher used to throw board rubbers. Well, they weren't rubbers, board cleaners across the classroom.
There was just something. It showed me that you could be the most amazing doctor and human at the same time. That, You know, this woman's blood pressure was probably through the roof. And if I can imagine, if it had been me, mine would have been three times that. Him saying, may I examine you? Him saying who he is and acknowledging who you are would have calmed me right down. So that's part of being a doctor, as far as I'm concerned. You're there, Pete. You're there. You can't be good, be colourful. Oh, there was one with my dad who was very colourful. I don't think my mum ever got over that. He was the idiot that rocked up between dad arriving. This was the day he died, so clearly he wasn't well. He arrived and then the nurse spoke to mum and said, would you like me to get a priest? And mum's like, not yet. But she, obviously that put in her mind, he's going. And I'd already said, I think you'll find this is it. You know, his breathing was virtually non-existent. Then this doctor came in and mum was sat down next to dad. So she was kind of eye level with it, with his lower chest. And she glanced up and he was there and he had like his full white coat on, etc. But he had this belt on and it was like a piano keys on a belt. And she's gazing at him. And obviously she's old school. She was 80 for crying out loud. She's gazing at this belt. And when she was explaining it later, she said, oh, that's when Fats Domino came in. Because he didn't introduce himself. She had no idea who he was. Rule one, say hello. Rule two, see rule one and work from there. But he just wandered in. Now, bearing in mind, the nurse had just said, would you like the last rites? Mum had said, not yet, but can you hold that thought? And the woman said, yes, absolutely. He came in and said, I'll give him some antibiotics and send him home. So it's not surprising. Mum just looked at him with like, what? And then she was fixated on this belt. So yeah, colourful. That's excellent, Pete. Colourful.
She's chasing squirrels here.
She is. Her little legs are going now. Oh, dear me. Oh, temps are usually white. Oh, no, these were day-glow orange. I reckon it was done deliberately, Kim, to make sure that you went back. Just got to do some cleaning of the kitchen bathroom, but we're in Jonathan's ears. That's good to know, Jonathan. Oh, I will remember that. Colourful.
And you're in our hearts, Jonathan.
Oh, you are, Jonathan. We thought of you last night as you pegged. I put in the chat, I promised exciting, didn't I? No reply. And I'm thinking, Kim can call it right now. This was about 30 seconds after Mike had started.
Yeah, thanks for that, Johnny. Love you too.
Oh, and we did have a buzz. We definitely had a buzz. Just before Mike started, it was funny that, wasn't it? Just before you started, it was.
There in full flow. I know. You turn around and said, can you hear a buzzing?
Well, I could hear a buzzing. It's the audio interface. I don't know what. Well, actually, I do know what it is. I think it's the USB connection with the Mac.
Well, it's a Mac. It's rubbish.
You know, the Mac and USB, they just don't. Just forget it. So I could hear this buzzing. So I threw two towels over it. Because my microphone was quite close to it. I thought, even if they're not picking it up off Mike's microphone, they might be picking it up off mine. Anyway, Sarah, I think, was the only one with hearing good enough to hear it. Obviously, if young Jonathan had been there, because your hearing goes as you get old, doesn't it? So young Jonathan would probably have heard it. So I couldn't turn it off, because if I turned it off and on again, I'd have cut Mike off. So you could hear me with it, because I am on a different line. So I had to go into the bathroom and get about another six towels and bring them in and cover it up.
Yeah.
Until Mike had finished, at which point I rebooted it. Oh, fun live online, hey? And I mean, on my checklist, I can honestly say I do not have, make sure you have six towels handy in the office to cover up the audio interface when it starts. Don't have that on the checklist, or I didn't until today. Now it's on the checklist.
Six towels is usually for something else.
Oh, yeah, get some towels and hot water. Yeah, that'd be right. No, it was the audio interface.
The audio interface is about to give birth.
It sounded like it was, to be honest. It did that once a while back, and then it just stopped. Then it did it again, and I did just restart it, and it was fine. That it doesn't do it often, so there's no commonality with when it does. I have no idea what sets it off, apart from Mike. Probably when Mike speaks, it sets it off. But that was what the issue was. But towels saved the day. And I pushed my microphone out of the way. But when I push my microphone out of the way, it's a tinge on the squeaky side.
Anyway.
You can hear it.
Those who were there in after hours will be pleased to know that the monitor worked.
Oh, yes, the monitor got the grand turn on. Well, technically, Mike tried it and said, I can't get it to turn on. So I said, give it here. So he handed it over. We put two cables in it and it's working. Didn't even need a driver, did it?
No.
No. We'd have to do some video of that. Because not needing a driver is good news. And this is on Windows. Shouldn't need a driver on a Mac. But on Windows, it didn't even need a driver. Which means it can't break when the driver that is not installed isn't there or needs updating.
That's true.
So that is very good news. It just worked. If you weren't there, it was a 15.6 flat screen independent USB powered monitor. I actually thought Mike was using it in two locations, but apparently not. It's just in here just to prop up.
And should I ever be forced back into work?
Yeah, that's so not happening, Mike.
No.
No, we're not even thinking that. Not until Kim has called it. And Kim has already said 3 years, and that was only a year ago.
Yeah.
So two more years
to go.
Yeah. Two more years to go, by which time you'll probably need another one. But it's there. No, I meant if you went into the extension or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good thinking. Tracy fell asleep during family film night. Must have been an interesting film. That's all I can say, Tracy.
We missed you, Tracy. We did. We missed you.
I nearly fell asleep on Thursday night, didn't I? I decided to go to bed early during the second half of the United match and watch the game on my iPad. And I kept dozing off and I kept feeling the iPad falling down out of my hands.
Why don't you use the stand that's in there? That's what it's in there for. The iPad has a bed of its own. Must take a picture of that.
Because I totally forgot about it because it lives behind the iMac.
That's true.
Yeah.
Not only so the dog don't think it's a toy. Not at that price.
She probably would.
Exactly. It's like a triangular thing.
It's like a baby sofa.
We talked about it the other day. It's fabulous. It really is. I would never have paid anything like that. I think I got £5 to £7 off it. But basically, it's like a couch for your iPad.
So, Tracy, whose selection was it? Because you used to do that at Christmas, didn't you?
What?
Films. Your father has selected the rubbish ones.
My dad. Oh, the films were dire. Do you know the worst one we ever watched? In fact, there were some really bad ones.
So I want to know who selected last night's film. Mr. T. There you go. Never trust a bloke.
Oh, I don't know. I got forced, don't ask, it was hideous, into doing a sociology A-level. Oh, if I never hear that word again, it'll be too soon. Who remembers the BT advert with Maureen Lipman? You get
an ology.
You're a scientist already. She was fabulous. Oh, no, I was doing sociology and they said, you need to watch this film. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's.
So I've seen that. Jack Lemmon.
No.
Oh.
The other one. Not Jack Lugman, the other one. The other Jack. Nicholson. So I thought, and this was in the day when you had to rent it from you know, Blockbusters. So at Christmas, you could rent like 10 films over 3 days. So I said, right, we'll get it then. So we did. Mum said, you fancy watching that one then? None of us had a clue what it was about. We put it on and I know what would win an Oscar. But you know what? It wasn't exactly Elf on the Shelf, considering it was Christmas. It was one of those films that was so hard to watch. You watch it once and appreciate it and never watch it again.
I've never seen it.
Don't worry, Mike. Don't go there. It was bad. No, it wasn't bad. It's hard to explain. It's depressing. Really, really depressing.
A mental institution, isn't it?
Yes, it was. Which was where the giggles ended. No, it wasn't the kind of thing you would watch at Christmas. But do you know what? Even that wasn't the worst one. My dad got one called Body Double, I think. And he starts watching it. Now, Mum made the wise sage move of going to pluck the turkey. Because, you know, doing anything with the turkey would have been preferable to this thing, this Body Double. It starts and I thought, is this some kind of horror film? Because he told me it was a thriller. Anyway, cut a long story short, because at the plot, this was about it. There wasn't much more of a plot than what I'm about to say. And if you're eating, I do apologise. It was this beautiful girl. She was in a hotel for some particular reason. And there was a guy watching her through a pair of binoculars. So you'd got all your usual, you know, if you're a bloke, you'll love it. That kind of thing going on. That went on for about 10 minutes. And I thought, this isn't a thriller. It's soft porn. And then the guy breaks into her hotel room. So I thought, oh, no, we're not. It's not one of those films, is it? We're not going to have an assault. Oh, he was armed with a drill. And when I say a drill, you know, like the size of a jackhammer. And that was how he murdered her. Well, I walked out. Just said to Dad, I'm not watching that. And I walked out. Even that wasn't his worst. One that was worse than that. Has anybody seen Death Race 2000? It came out probably the mid 80s. I think, but don't quote me, Sylvester Stallone could have been in it. So, you know, that was the kind of thing that Dad would watch. Dad liked horror, but he had to kind of rein himself in. It needed to be something like a thriller. But like Tracy says, thriller seems to be synonymous with horror films these days. And even back then, we weren't twigging, you know, that what this was going to be like. He puts it on. I mean, again, what plot? It was like an early form of a computer game where the drivers in this race got points for knocking people over and killing them. And you didn't get as many points for a granny because they couldn't shift as fast. But, you know, like two kids, oh, yeah, you got loads of points for that. Again, I got up and walked out. Dad couldn't handle the fact that I would get up and walk out. He would think I would just sit there and moan. And I wouldn't. I said, I'm not watching this. It's disgusting. And walked out. But wait for it. Is that the one? Was it Charles Bronson? I'm with you, Renee. I can't be doing with it. The world's bad enough, you know. Without that, that one even wasn't the worst. No. In fact, I'm trying to think with Dad which one was the worst. That one was bad. But the most cringeworthy. He decided, because he quite liked Dolly Parton, to get this film out of Dolly Parton's. It was Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds. And it was called, and I quote, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And it was a musical. But he liked Dolly Parton, so he was quite happy watching that. Me and Mum are just looking at each other with like, what is this? But it was harmless, I guess. It was harmless fun. David Carradine. Oh, and I should have remembered him, but I did think Sylvester Stallone was in it. But obviously, Paul, I saw about the first 10 minutes and that was me done. But after he'd watched The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, he'd also managed, and he said it was next to this one, in the video shop. I have no idea what this one was called, but if you can imagine, I was about 15 and Dad had just like, oh, and there's this one. And he thought it was like The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. So I thought, oh, not another musical. Is Dolly Parton in it? Anyway, he puts it on. I have no idea what it was called. Obviously, I would share this with you if I did. Imagine you've got your... I mean, my mum had me when she was 32, so she would have been 56-ish, and Dad was the same. Me, 14, watching them. No, actually, they'd been younger than that, wouldn't they? 32, 42, probably about 45, 46. Sitting there with their only daughter. He puts this film on. I wish I could remember what it was called. And it starts. And there was a guy and a girl in it, you know, and it involved a kitchen. Not fitting a kitchen, as it were. But if we think the kitchen was the bedroom, you get the idea. And they start having it away with each other in the kitchen, over the sink. And Mum and I are looking at each other like, oh, we've not really had an introduction to the plot yet. Who's she? Who's he? What are they doing? Oh, well, I think we can see what they're doing. Just stick with it, you know, stick with it a bit. Anyway, that bit finished, and then another guy arrived, and then he had a dabble. And I thought, I think Dad's made a mistake here. I said, Dad, where's the box off this film? And they used to take them out of the proper boxes and put them in like a plain box. But sometimes there was like a title on it and a bit of a description. It was a porn film. I think you might have managed that by then. And I'm talking beyond the top shelf kind. Well, I didn't actually walk out at that one. I think Dad had enough of that one first. He was so embarrassed at watching this with his wife and daughter. He said, I think we'll put the one on your mother picked. Now, my mother, yeah, it does sound like porn to me as well. The next one, well, we'll put what your mum picked on. And it was so funny because Dad had picked some, I'd picked some, mum had picked some. The one I picked, I think, was Richard Chamberlain and Sharon Stone in Alan Quatermain, King Solomon's Mines. Loved it. Fabulous. It was like an extra of Indiana Jones. Only had Richard Chamberlain in it. And I thought he was fabulous. So mine were fine. Mum said, I don't think you're going to watch mine. What was that thing called that she used to watch? Oh, I have to try and remember the name, but I've got the gist of it. What she picked were cartoons. So Dad said, put one of yours on. So she did. And it was called The Wisdom of the Gnomes. Does anybody remember The Wisdom of the Gnomes?
No.
It was a cartoon. We're not talking it was, you know, like a program for children. No, it was an animated cartoon. Wisdom of the Gnomes. Oh, and Dad said, I'm not watching this. She said, sit down. On account of the fact he'd taken us through half a dozen porn films. There we go. Videos of the Wisdom of the Gnomes.
Renee says, I'm a wimp. I hate horror. That reminded me that when my brother was about 10, he used to go to the next door neighbour's house on a Friday night and they used to watch all these horror films. You know, like Stephen King.
Yeah.
And that lot.
Oh, no, I couldn't watch
that. Wasn't my bag either, Renee. Not my bag.
I see. Kim enjoyed the Indiana Jones. This one was, it had a lot of comedy in it. And Richard Chamberlain was good at comedy. And Sharon Stone at the time was an unknown. But I just thought they worked so well together. There were two films. Dad loathed it. He said it was too far-fetched. I thought the fact that, you know, he was, at one point, he was on this train and he fell off the back, grabbed hold of the rail, put his boots, one on each track, and then, you know, travelled for like 40 miles like that without setting his feet on fire. Dad, it's that kind of film, you know. Indiana Jones was funny, wasn't it? There were moments in Indiana Jones. I always remember the first time, we didn't go to cinema to see that, first time Indiana Jones came on UK TV. Was 5 years after it was in the cinema. So obviously many, many, many people had seen it. We hadn't. But in between it being released 5 years previous and this particular Christmas, there had been an advert on the TV for Terry's Chocolate Orange. And this Terry's Chocolate Orange, the orange was in like some kind of, you know, jewelled casket. And the essence of the advert was that there was this like explorer trying to get to this thing. And when he got to it and he reached out for it, it became like huge and it started rolling down and he had to make a run for it. We start watching Indiana Jones and that obviously the advert had been made based on Indiana Jones. But if you can imagine, we hadn't seen it. So we were watching the film going, this is the Terry's Chocolate Orange ad. Always watch things the right way round.
Or Indiana Mick, as we used to say at school.
Did you?
Yeah. We had a teacher called Mr. Jones.
There you go. That is the wisdom of the gnomes.
Whose name was Mick.
So if you can imagine, like 3 hours of every series of the wisdom of the gnomes. Oh, there's another one that's even better. Let's put that up there. Oh, poor Dad. Yeah, we never let him choose films after that. It was too bad. One of the ones I hated, and I probably got a bad memory of this, because my gran had a bit of a sniffle. Nothing serious, you know, just like a cold. And we put on A Passage to India. Oh, dear. I'm sure it's a classic, but everybody fell asleep. Again, knock, knock, not a Christmas film. Let's just say that. Not a Christmas film. So that night, I think because this film was that bad, my dad, who doesn't normally drink, he never drank apart from at Christmas, and even then he'd only have a lager. But this particular year, this film was that bad, he said, I'm going for a drink. And I think he had like two or three lagers. Mum didn't drink either except at Christmas, but she'd had a lager. Gran said she didn't feel like it, so she didn't. And I'm teetotal, thankfully. I was 18 that year. The next day, my gran would, because that was Christmas Day, my gran would go to my aunt's the next day. But when my aunt turned up to pick her up, she said, oh, I've got this cold and I really don't feel like going out. So she didn't. She stayed home Boxing Day. But my aunt's mother-in-law was a nurse and she'd spent Boxing Day with them. So when my aunt took her back home, she said, let's just check your mum on the way past, make sure she's okay. So they stopped off and bobbed in. And Gran was saying, oh, I've just got a bit of a sniffle. And this lady looked at her. This is what I'm saying about when you're a good medic. This lady took one look, and she's a nurse, not a doctor. She took one look and she said to my aunt, call an ambulance. She's having a heart attack. And my aunt's like, don't be ridiculous. She's got a cold. And she said, I'm telling you, she's having a heart attack. Get an ambulance. And my gran didn't have a phone at the time, I don't think. So they had to go and get a phone box as well for that. So I was the only one sober enough to drive everybody to the hospital. So I've got bad memories of that Christmas for a start. Luckily, they did get to her in time and she was fine. That was when they told her she was diabetic, wasn't it? And she couldn't eat things that were sugary. So she told everybody, she used to say, I'm diabetic, you know, I can't eat carrots, they're too sweet. And then when everybody bought a diabetic chocolate at Christmas, she said, what are they buying me this stuff for? I like fruit and nuts. Oh, good grief. Jonathan can't think of anything worse, watching films like that with his parents. It was a smidgen uncomfortable, Jonathan. Let's just put it like that. But the thing was, you know, like we'd sat through the first one, the Dolly Parton one, which was just a giggle. It was, you know, I'd have thought it would have been Mum that said, turn it off. I think she was that stunned. She was rendered speechless. And I'm just like, how long till he presses stop? Because I told you the other ones, the horror ones, I walked out. This one, I'm just like, what the heck? And you know that kind of gag where you see people and they're clearly watching something, but you can't see what they're watching. The camera's on them. And then they turn their head sideways. Yeah. Mum couldn't look at the kitchen sink for weeks. And every time it was mentioned, like the following year, oh, let's get some films in at Christmas. And Mum went, let's not. So, Jonathan, it never happened again. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Ooh, let me get that one from Kim. What's your favourite film? Is it one I've seen?
Conspiracy Theory. Oh, don't think I know it.
I think I've seen it. I love that kind of film. Love it. Was that the one with Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one. I'd forgotten Julia Roberts was in it, mind. And there was another one similar to that with... Oh, was it the one with a gravelly voice? And was he in that film that John likes, Shawshank? Or am I thinking of somebody else? It had a similar kind of, you know, conspiracy theory thing going on. I love films like that. Absolutely love them. For my dad, that would probably have been, he got like, you know, at the beginning of a film, when they do like a setup piece, Dad expects to know who people are.
Yeah, I'm like that, aren't I?
Yes, Mike's a menace.
Who's
like
he?
That.
Who's she?
Yeah, and you don't. And I say to him, look, just watch and remember. And I know it is ridiculous because if you were to watch it a second time, you'd get a totally different view of the whole thing. But that's all you can do at that point, isn't it? You can't do anything but watch and try and remember and see how it all fits together. I saw an episode of NCIS the other night. It was one of my mum's favourites. It was from season 4, I think. The one where Abby is dressed up as Marilyn Monroe. And then the episode after that, in fact, the whole series has like a running story going through it about La Grande Ouie, the frog. And I remember that at the time, but I remember getting like, it was quite fragmented. I felt it was fragmented. It was probably fragmented because we were being shown the episodes in the wrong order. And you can't do that with a running story. But just that kind of thing, I love that. But you've got to just think, oh, she's just said La Grande Ouie and he's doing that. Just put that in your memory. And if it comes up again, then, you know, relate to it. Mike's not good at that. Neither was my dad. So he would just huff and then read his paper because he couldn't work out what was going on. I can assure you there wasn't much going on in the other one. Right, Pete says, try the grandparents. I was 8 and watching The Bill with my grandparents, very prim and conservative. The look on my granddad's face when I asked him what an escort was. Oh, good grief. Surely he explained it was a car. He could have got out of that one. Oh. All the, Jonathan's father asked him if he'd been watching posh porn. What? Oh, pawnbrokers. Jonathan, you might be 31, but that's still one of those moments where you think, Dad! Oh, Born Identity. I love that. I read the book many, many years ago. Love the book. And then around the time of that film, so it'd be late 80s-ish, Richard Chamberlain did a miniseries. So it wasn't the films, it was a miniseries. I think it was about 3 hours. It was fantastic. It was so, so true to the book. I absolutely loved it. Jacqueline Smith was in it with him. She played the doctor. Absolutely love that. Do you know, these are the things that they just don't put that on anymore. But you get repeats, wall-to-wall garbage. I mean, they're actually repeating stuff that was only on 6 months ago. There is a reason for that. They don't have to pay any residuals if it's shown within 2 years. So you get to see things 4 times because it doesn't cost them anymore. But, you know, the stuff that was fantastic from years ago, you never see. One that I actually bought the DVD when I could finally get my hands on it was Volenberg, again with Richard Chamberlain. But the story was amazing, and so was this miniseries. He was the king of the miniseries, wasn't he? I just loved it. I thought it was a wonderful story, just beautiful. But trying to get hold of it, it took me years to get the DVD. I did record it, probably onto Betamax tape. But the thing was that there were 2 showings of it. And the one that I'd recorded, I can hear her snoring her head off. The one that I'd recorded, there was a bit missing at the beginning. It was Walpurgis Night, and they were all dancing and stuff. And it was relevant to the story. Another one that I haven't managed to get yet was a miniseries, Golda Meir. Swedish lady was in it. Ingrid Bergman. She was fabulous. It was the best series. And again, never put it on again. Why not? These things are educational and amazing stories. No, but Love Island's on 27 times before Friday. Can't be doing with that. But oh, good call, Kim. Born Identity. Watching Memento would have been a nightmare. That was pretty much what it was like, Pete. He just couldn't. It was the same with anything, even like an episode of Inspector Morse. You know how they do dramas where it starts and instead of having like the titles at the very, very beginning, it'll open out onto like the park in Oxford and you see somebody on a bike wander past and then somebody will, you know, walk up the high street. And he's like, who's he? What are they doing? As though he really did believe he'd missed something. And Mum would be really annoyed because that was kind of setting the scene. And while he was yakking about who's doing what, she would miss what was going on. So in the end, it was just kind of, I'm not watching this. Oh, and then the other thing he'd say is, well, I'm deaf, aren't I? Now, he did have a hearing aid, but it was more like selective samoid deafness. It must have been tuned to my mother's frequency.
Yes, you have that, don't you?
Yeah, it was my mother he couldn't hear. He, if I was to say, oh, do you want to watch the football, Dad? He'd hear that from 3 miles away. Just not my mother. Mind you, we say that with Chidge, don't we? Chidge has got, is it 1 or 2 hearing aids? But either way, just doesn't pick Nina up. It's amazing. Amazing. Must take very highly skilled operatives to make sure that hearing aid works as good as that. That's true. I'm thinking, Kim, as I'm looking at this series, it was one of the best. What I've done is I've put them on when I'm doing like mindless filing and stuff. So I'm up to the middle of series 4. First two, obviously, it was Kate. And I did enjoy those. But I think this series, the one I'm watching at the moment is the episode a couple after that, and it's my favourite episode. It's the one with the automated car called Otto, where it killed the girl that was doing the testing. And then Abby gets stuck in it. That, I think, is my favourite episode. But the entire series, that series is one of the best. I don't think I've seen it since Mum died. So I'm probably about 8 series behind overall. But this is the first time I think I've seen them in the right order. Because in the UK, they don't care. They just put them on in any random order, which isn't good. That is not good for me when I'm trying to follow a story. They did that with The X-Files many years ago. Can't remember which series. But I'm watching The X-Files, and the girl in it, what was her name? It was Fox Mulder, wasn't there? Dana. Dana was looking after her sister's dog, and it was something to do with the Loch Ness Monster at one point as well. Anyway, watching this episode, and...
4 minutes.
I love the series, but don't kill the dog. And in this episode, the dog died. So I'm gutted, like, oh my God, the dog got eaten by the monster in the sea. So I'm really, really upset. Following week, episode comes on, no problem. Week after that, another episode comes on, and there's the dog. And I thought, just a minute, didn't the dog die 2 weeks ago? They put them on in the wrong order. Now, I mean, with the X-Files, let's be honest, that had that many backstories. There's no way you could follow that like that. But that's what they do over here. Totally agree. You do need to see it in the right order. But I also think for some of the stories, it'd be better if it wasn't just once a week. But I can watch as many as I like now. So I'm up to the middle of season 4. Betamax. Yeah, we went Betamax. What can I say? I remember carrying... This thing must have weighed about 8 stone that we bought. And they were so big in those days, video recorders. It would be delivered. Mind you, we did buy it from Kendall Milne, which was sort of the Harrods of the North. And it was, when would you like it delivered, madam? And Mum said, I'm taking it with us. Oh, so they assume we had a Rolls Royce outside, but we actually took it on the bus. And there we were walking a mile. They dropped us off at the top of the main road near us. So it's a mile. With this video recorder. It was that heavy we kept having to stop and put it on people's walls. But I was so excited to get it home. Oh, wow, was I excited. Obviously, we went VHS in the end. What's Love Island? Oh, Kim. Kim, what is Love Island? It's horrific. Let's see if I can find a page that explains it in all its glory. Love Island Wiki. What's on the wiki for Love Island? It's a British dating reality series. It's a revival of the earlier celebrity series of the same name from 15 years ago. Caroline Flack used to present it, but she died. So it's bad. It's a dating show, but these people are like barely clothed. And 4 of the contestants have committed suicide in the last 3 years, I think. And Caroline Flack, who was the presenter, also committed suicide. So, yeah, it's like not the best thing to watch. There you go. Have a read of that, Kim. It's bad news.
1 minute.
Okay. Am I going to get in? Bang on time. Don't forget to join us, brooklands196.com. Theme is Wales and all things Welsh. Do you know, Mike, I'm not at all sure I've even got my set list set up. So I need to do that. So first of all, I'll say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.